New York, December 30th, UPI. Two rare letters from first-class passengers aboard the doomed British ocean liner Titanic will hit the auction block next month, an auction house said Tuesday. The letters on White Star Line's stationery are expected to fetch $10,000 to $20,000 each when auctioned January 16th, this Friday, at Spink Smith in New York. Also to be auctioned are an autographed photo of U.S. inventor Thomas A. Edison, a letter by then-President-elect Thomas Jefferson about arrangements for hiring slaves, and a promissory note signed three separate times by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1927. So reads a recent news release pertaining to some historic documents. In the realm of things musical, I learned this summer about an organization called the Bach Archive. It has as its goal the collection and preserving and cataloging of original manuscripts by J.S. Bach. And one of its current projects is to preserve manuscripts that are deteriorating. Apparently, they've actually come up with a process whereby they take the manuscript, the paper, soak it in some kind of a solution, separate the two sides of that piece of paper, insert a protective shield of some kind, a sheet, and then press it all back together again. Spending thousands and thousands of dollars on purchasing historical documents, putting hours upon hours into the preservation of original manuscripts of a Baroque master. Why do people do things such as these? Apparently because there's widespread interest in getting in touch with the past. And I'm certainly not knocking that interest. Coming into contact with original items somehow brings history, makes history alive. What is sad, however, is the fact that there is in the world today so very little interest in coming into contact with the future. You'd think, with all the hyped speech at New Year's time about turning a page and looking ahead, that people would scramble to somehow get in touch with writings that would bring the future within reach and would reveal what the future holds. But that is sadly not the case. For most people fail to recognize that there is a document which reveals exactly what will happen in the future, a document which is far more valuable and important than all others. That's not to say, of course, that all groups of individuals fail to recognize this. A group of Christians in Thessalonica at the time of the Apostle Paul recognized and treasured the words of inestimable value. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works also in you who believe." The words of Holy Scripture, far more valuable than any other words, and more valuable for a reason other than that which typically gives value to other documents. Letters written just before boarding the Titanic or documents handled by U.S. presidents are considered valuable because the people who handled them were of some human stature or were in some very unique historic circumstance. But that which makes Scripture far more valuable is the fact that the words contained therein did not originate with mere mortals, but with God Himself. We hear reference made to the Word of God so commonly in our circles that I think once in a while, perhaps, we tend to lose sight of the magnitude of that phrase. It is so common for us to hear that this passage or that passage was written by this prophet or that apostle that perhaps once in a while we too sort of slip into thinking of them too much as being words of men. But when we stop and contemplate again how the words in our Bibles are the very words of God Himself, the one who spans all space and possesses all power, the greatness of the words again begins to come into focus. How amazing that the Almighty God has allowed us to peek into His mind, so to speak. How amazing that the Eternal One has revealed for us all that we need to know, everything necessary to know about the past, the present, and even the future. He tells us what we need to know about the past, namely that everything was ruined with the intrusion of sin, paradisical living was lost, peace with God was destroyed, problems of all kinds became commonplace. But he also tells us about the extraordinary thing that the Lord designed back as far back as one can go, his plan for our salvation. He appointed his Son Jesus to serve as the atoning sacrifice for every sin. The Son of God, we're told, was slain from the foundation of the world. And of course, after that slaying took place, came the rising, the victory over death. That is the message about the past, which can be found only in the Scriptures. With respect to the present, God lets us see how carefully he controls and works in the lives of his people, warning us about the things that cause us harm, urging us on to those things that truly benefit, so that even in a cursed world, life can be lived with profitability and pleasure and purpose. And when it comes to the future, the Scriptures alone reveal exactly what will take place when the Lord comes to replace the old with the new, the dark with the light, the sad with the happy, the sick with the healthy. There's no need for us to be frightened by the coming of the King. He has revealed that we are already prepared for that coming through faith in Christ, and has even told us just what he'll say when he arrives, including those wonderful words, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." These are among the words which the Thessalonians recognize as being God-breathed, words which not only created faith in their hearts, but sustained it. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively works also in you who believe. The words of Scripture not only bring faith about, they keep it going. They keep it growing. Earlier in the same epistle, Paul rejoiced in the way that our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. The words of mere mortals, no matter how historically significant they may be, merely sit on the page and can affect one only temporarily. But we're told the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The very Word of God, the Scriptures, they bring us into touch not only with the past and the present, but even the future. And it's free. No need to attend an auction. On New Year's Day, I overheard a conversation between a mother and a son. The son was expressing his frustration over having not come up with a good resolution for the new year. The mother suggested that he share hers, which was to read more of the Bible. Good advice for us all. For even though a person can overhear a conversation between mere mortals, one can never, with respect to the Word of God, overread it or overhear it. We sing of this word in the form of hymn 285, the first three stanzas and stanza 6. 285, 1 through 3, and 6.